You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, we are very excited to be welcoming into the studio Brooke Singer and John Fitzgerald, who are the creators of French for Rabbits, yes?
Some of the creators.
For the band French for Rabbits, and you guys are going to be releasing your second album on March 10th called The Weight of Melted Snow, and I have listened to, not the whole album, but I have listened to pieces of it, and I just wanted to say how touching it really is, and thanks so much to you guys for joining me this morning and everybody else out there who's tuning in.
Thank you, yeah.
So how are you guys?
Excellent.
John is excellent. He had a shower at 4 in the morning. I woke up with a migraine, possibly because there was someone having a shower at 4 in the morning.
But I also drank a little bit too much beer last night also, so I'm a little bit...
So he's great.
Rather worse for wear.
So you guys are top-notch this morning.
Top-notch. I am drinking some Earl Grey tea, so I'm
lovely.
Pretty happy about that.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, and I would love to ask as a general question that you probably will get asked quite a bit, but how did the construction of The Weight of Melted Snow begin for you both?
How did it begin? That's a really good question. It was such a long time ago.
Yeah, the album's been a long time
coming.
In progress. So some of the songs sort of span quite a time period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it wasn't really like sort of just like, okay, let's try and write a whole album in one go kind of thing. Like, yeah,
no.
I think some of the songs were written when we were touring a lot overseas. So like in between those times, and then more recently, some of the songs have been written also.
So basically, what he's trying to say in a vague roundabout way is we wrote half the album, and then it was going to be an EP. But then me and John broke up, mm-hmm. and then we wrote the second half of the album. So it's written in two halves. Kind of. Well, actually, it's not even in two halves because it was just written throughout the whole time. But, yeah.
So what have these two halves given you and also given your music?
Well, I think... I don't know. I mean, writing it for me is like quite stream of consciousness. So I often don't know what I'm writing about until later.
Mm.
But... I wrote out all the lyrics for the album when I was making the album design and realised it's quite a depressing album. But in a really nice way, of course.
Mm.
Some people say our music's kind of like a hangover cure. Mm. So it could be appropriate for John this morning. I don't know. but yeah.
So what's your guys' roles within the creation of your music? Do you specialise in the lyrical aspect, or do you kind of jump about, like, do you, John, have input in the lyrics at all?
No, I don't have any input into the lyrics. I guess, like, some of the songs have been written just by Brooke, some of them me and Brooke have written, and then some of them the whole band have written together.
Yeah.
So some of the later ones have kind of evolved at like practices, or like they've been like half songs that we've taken to a practice, and then everyone's kind of chipped in and worked out like a
ending
or something, or built. Yeah,
one of them was meant to be a psychedelic trance song I wrote,
mm-hmm.
and then now it's like the most chill song on the album.
So what happened to it?
I wrote it because my brother makes psychedelic trance, and I wrote these lyrics for him, and then I don't know what happened, but anyway, took it to the band, and now
which song is it?
Close My Eyes.
All right.
Yeah, and then there was a song that Ben wrote, Ben Lemmy, who's a bass player and producer, I guess. He actually wrote a song, and he sings on that, and he's got this amazing voice, which is really great. So, yeah, he leads that.
So why did you guys want to write about something that's so personal? Like, did pushing, like, this life experience through the music, like, enable you to explore ideas and kind of narratives that you haven't been able to before?
I mean, I guess I do always write kind of semi-personally, but this is definitely more of a personal album, in that there's like The One and Only, which is a song I think you're going to play, is
mm-hmm.
like probably the most biographical song, like in a very unmetaphorical way, whereas I use a lot of metaphors often, but that one hasn't got many.
Well, since you have mentioned One and Only, shall we have a listen to it and let everybody else have a listen to it who haven't already? And then we can talk a little bit more. Just bear with me as I play with this computer. All right, let's get into it. What's your guys' response to that? Do you have a response?
To the song?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard it a lot of times now.
So you kind of just...
Well, no, it's still, I think it's probably the most emotional song on the album.
Because you were saying, Brooke, how this is kind of your piece.
Yeah. So John doesn't actually play on this one, but he might play on it on the tour. We haven't actually played it live together yet.
Cool. So that'll be... interesting to see.
It'll
if
be
you guys
great fun, I'm sure.
So you are the 18-year-old in this piece, is that true?
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
30.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I just turned 30. So I'm fully grown up, apparently.
I mean, the thing that I, when I was listening to the piece, I think the thing that stood out for me the most was the vocals, kind of the like little harmony that you can hear.
Yeah.
Why did you... What was your input into like the forming and constructing the melody of the vocals?
I mean, I write them all when I sing all those harmonies as well, actually. But we've actually got a fifth member of the band now, Penelope, who toured with me in 2015. And she is amazing. So she's been singing all the harmonies live, which is really cool. But yeah, I really love harmony. It's I think I like them a little bit too much because we often have to pull out. I write lots of harmonies.
Yeah.
Pull out.
I definitely have a soft spot for vocal harmony as well.
Yeah.
Do you kind of like to test where your harmonies can go?
Yeah, I like trying different stuff out, but I feel like it's quite intuitive. Like, you just...
You guys just kind of come up with it.
We just come up with them quite fast, yeah. And because now we have three harmonies in the band, it's extra exciting because there's, like, my voice and Penelope often sings a higher one, and then Ben's got this, like, real nice, luscious, lower one.
So. And are you going to incorporate the string sound as well in your live performances?
We're using the... what's it called? The...
The boot synth?
The electronic.
Oh, yeah, we've got like a we're using samplers and stuff.
It's amazing technology, how it can just like create an orchestra.
Yeah.
So we're using that for a couple of songs, which is quite, that's quite a new thing for us.
Yeah.
Cool. So you guys have transformed from being a duo to now being a band.
Yeah.
What has that offered your music, and kind of how has it reflected through this album particularly?
Well, I think when we played just as a duo, it was quite quite intimate, and so with the band, we've tried to kind of like keep that. We've tried to keep that with the big band, so it kind of it's very dynamic. Like, we're sort of kind of, we have really quiet sections, and then like we have like really built up loud, like full on sections.
Yeah,
as well.
I think it's just like we can be more ethereal and more expansive, and there's just all these like layers. So like, I think I thought when me and Ben were doing the production, it was like. We wanted it, so if you're listening on headphones like at night, if you're lying on bed in the dark alone, which is how I want people to listen to it, that it would, there'd be all these layers to discover over time.
And also like somebody could listen to it so many times and like discover something new.
That's what I found actually with like the Beatles when I was younger. I was obsessed with the Beatles, and I just thought it was amazing because every time I'd listen to them, you know, there'd be something different.
So that's the plan, but also it was really important for me that the album was still really intimate. So
it is definitely still really intimate. I think the thing that keeps it intimate for me is the voice.
Oh, cool. That was the plan. So that's kind of that when we were recording and stuff, that was the aim.
Let's have a little look at the next track that we're going to play, Feathers and Dreams. I kind of want to ask you before we play it, how do you think this compares to One and Only for you both?
Wasn't this one about a bird in the fire?
Well, this is a there's a few things going on, but I'd say in comparison to One and Only, which is like the most intimate in a way, this is way more expansive and way more of a band song. Like, the drums for me are like a highlight on this song. Cool. Drummer Hikarangi is really good.
He's a part of
Glassbolt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who I have seen play live, and it's amazing.
He's really good. So I'd say this song's like
trippy as well.
Trippy and expansive.
It definitely is. It kind of hits you. There's that little bit where you hear all those weird tones.
So I think this was a really fun song to produce, but it's kind of the song. Wrote it when we were living in a tiny little wooden house in Waikuku Beach, and it was lots of news about the Gaza Strip, and there was lots of these really haunting images of blown up buildings and horrible things, and so it was about that. But the whole song is basically a metaphor, because we used to live in another house in New Brighton where birds would always fly down the chimney, and I was always afraid they'd like end up in the fire. And so it's kind of a combination of those two things.
Shall we listen to it?
Yes.
Cool. Is there any continuity to your tracks? Because I kind of hear like a little tiny essence that kind of dribbles through all of the songs. Did you want to keep some kind of similarity in sound to the album as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of goes, it just happens because it's just the kind of the quintessential French Rabbit sound or something. I don't know, like my voice combined with certain things will always make it sound like it flows. But I spent a really long time coming up with a track list that made sense to me.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like chronological, but the themes I think are in the way it flows is.
And how about for you, John? Do you, when you like have been writing or putting input into these pieces, do you kind of always aim to keep some similarity to the pieces, like have continuity?
Yeah, definitely. I think like, well, in terms of the like my guitar parts that I write for the songs, they there's definitely like, you know, like sort of what am I trying to say?
Well, you don't put like your like hip hop kind of funky vibes.
Yeah, no. Yeah. There's like a style that I kind of lean towards that that I guess is similar to other songs that we've done and stuff.
And overall, how do you guys feel about the album? Like, what is your feeling now that it's finished? I mean, I know you've got the touring and all of that, but how does it feel just to kind of, is it like a release for you both to just be putting it out there very soon?
Yeah, I think it's good. It's been a long time since the last one, so I'm like feeling pretty stoked to have this one finished.
I think John's pretty excited about touring, which is funny because he does a tour and then he tells me he hates touring.
I have a love-hate relationship with touring.
I mean, fair enough, right? You're separating yourself from like your home and you're kind of running around.
I love touring, I like going overseas and meeting people and going to cool places.
So you guys do have a good dynamic when it comes to you love it, you have a love-hate.
I basically just like drink too much alcohol and then like don't get enough sleep and then get real grumpy.
So you guys are going on tour and it's starting on the 10th of March. You're going to be starting down in Gisborne to begin with.
Never been to Gisborne to play a show, so I'm pretty excited.
I've never been to Gisborne in general, so it should be exciting to kind of start it there. And then you're going to be traveling all around New Zealand and you're going to be coming to Auckland on the 7th of April, so it's quite a long tour.
It's 14 shows, which for a New Zealand tour I think is pretty long, but I wanted to visit lots of places, and we're playing on Waikuku Beach, which is
cool, so close to home.
And Auckland will be cool because we I think we only played here once last year, so I don't know if we'll play here more than once or twice this year, so hopefully people will come.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brooke and John, for joining me this morning, and good luck with the release of the album, which is being released on March 10th. Just thanks for joining me and talking about a few of your songs and sharing a bit more of an experience.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Cool. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.